Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
As the search continues for the person who shot and killed Charlie Kirk, CBS now reporting the feds have identified the name of a person of interest, and they are also releasing new details about his movements and the fact that they've recovered a weapon.
There is indeed a massive dragnet out here in the state of Utah searching for this gunman. Yesterday, the governor, Spencer Cox, called this a political assassination. And today, state and federal law enforcement made it clear that this was a targeted attack.
The FBI did release a picture of the man they say is believed to be the person responsible. That picture is on our website, KRLD.com.
And the impact of this whole situation with Charlie Kirk is being felt all around college campuses. Chris Fox continues our team coverage.
Among his accomplishments, Charlie Kirk co-founded the conservative youth organization Turning Point USA. Chapters at the University of Houston, Texas A&M, and Sam Houston State are hosting memorials tonight in response to his shooting death. University of Houston political science professor Brandon Rottinghouse.
Although people disagreed with Charlie Kirk on issues, there's no reason for violence to be a part of how this gets resolved. We have to take the temperature down.
Texas A&M Chancellor Glenn Hager with a statement saying Charlie Kirk modeled his entire movement on nonviolent civil discourse. In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And KRLD's Russell Scott has been speaking with the students at SMU about Kirk's impact.
Here on the SMU campus, I've heard no fewer than four different languages being spoken, but agree with Charlie Kirk's political views or not, the one language I heard the most, compassion.
It's been in shock, like it's been hard to like focus and stuff like that ever since this happened. Just all prayers to his family.
Really feel bad or anything because he was really against my people and my country, so I can't say I feel much bad for him, but obviously violence is not the answer to these things.
No, it doesn't matter if you love him, you hate him, killing people is not gonna solve it. If anything, it's gonna lead to more violence and more divide.
A few students told me they hold on to the hope that somehow, some way, we move away from the violence and toward more civil discussions, even when you disagree with someone. On the SMU campus, Russell Scott, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And what amounts to lousy timing, there is a game going on in Salina, and the police chief is telling people, stop playing it.
Senior Assassins is a popular game among some seniors throughout the United States using a water gun to go after a pretend target. However, in light of Charlie Kirk's assassination, Salina Police Chief John Cullison wants seniors at Salina High School to stop immediately.
You know, I can't control what happens in Utah or Colorado or any other community, but what I can do is control what happens in Salina, or at least have input and give good guidance to make sure and protect our kids.
There was overwhelming support on the police department's Facebook page, a comment, I applaud this, to another calling for other cities to do the same. The Salina ISD superintendent says they fully support the request and want to remind people the game is not school sanctioned. From the 24-hour news center, Eric Bushman, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And new information this afternoon on a shocking and disturbing story we first brought you yesterday. We are learning more about what led up to the beheading of a man in an East Dallas motel.
Dallas police say 37-year-old Yordanis Cobos Martinez worked at the Downtown Suites Motel, which is located off of I-30 near the Tennyson Golf Course, when he got involved in a verbal argument with the 50-year-old manager of the motel. That manager didn't want Martinez using the washing machine and was speaking to a translator so Martinez could understand. That angered Martinez for some reason, and he pulled out a machete and started hacking that manager. This woman lives at the motel.
I can't sleep. As soon as I turn around and look that way, I start crying.
Police say Martinez cut the head off the manager and then threw it in a nearby dumpster. He was quickly tracked down by officers and admitted to the crime. Martinez has been charged with murder. He's an illegal immigrant, although it is not clear where he comes from. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Update from Frisco Police on a story we've been following for you all afternoon. The police are now saying the bomb squad took away this device that showed up at an apartment complex right behind the HEB off of Main and Legacy. An employee at the complex called the police after he found that device. No word what's inside, but people are now allowed to go back home.
Charlie Kirk, are you sad? Are you more sad? Are you more angry? And what about political violence in general? How have we reached this point? So you can call or text. That is the number we'd love to hear from you. You can also leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. And who was Charlie Kirk? Brylan Hollihan is a podcaster himself. We'll start with him. He was a close friend of Charlie Kirk's, says he was larger than life.
I cannot tell you the amount of times that I gave speeches on college campuses and the very first question would be about Charlie Kirk. He was like this rock star to my generation. And I want to be honest with your audience here and say the only reason that Donald Trump is sitting in the Oval Office this afternoon is because Charlie Kirk worked his butt off tirelessly to knock on every door, to go to every campus, to get the next generation off the sidelines. And the first time Charlie and I met, I mean, he was one of my closest friends in this political business that's so lonely at times. He was one of my mentors for close to a decade now. I met him in the fourth grade. I was 11 years old when I first started my podcast. And Blake, I'll be honest, not a lot of people wanted to join a fourth grader's podcast. And Charlie certainly didn't need to. He was on TV every other hour. But he took an opportunity and took a chance on me. And he left me a little advice at the end of the segment. He can, you know, go see it on YouTube today, almost 10 years later. And he said, Brylan, the left can out-fundraise us every single time, but they will never outwork me. I will wake up as early as I need to. I will stay up as late as I need to. He was a true man of his word, and this is heartbreaking.
And as for Charlie Kirk's legacy,
I want Charlie to be remembered as a man of faith, because that's what he was at the end of the day. You understand, like, the hectic campaign schedule of, like, crisscrossing the country and flying from state to state. You couldn't get a hold of Charlie on Sundays or book him for an event or a media interview on Sundays, because he went home, he took his wife and kids to church, and he turned his phone off. That was the true man he was. Imagine the millions of dollars in speaking fees and TV hits and book opportunities that he missed out on because he respected the Sabbath. And that was his true personality. Nobody knew that. He didn't talk about that on his podcast. He doesn't make that like some public thing for people to praise him for. That was just Charlie being Charlie, and a lot of people will pay tribute to him, remember him. That's the Charlie I'll be remembering this week.
All right, and just the latest example of political violence in the U.S. I threw the question out there a minute ago. How have we gotten to this point?
You know, that's the thing, is that when you talk about Charlie Kirk, all the people, the podcasters, I listen to him quite a bit because I listen to a lot of those podcasts. Whenever I wanted to get Republican views or MAGA views on a subject, I would always go to him because he was the most well-spoken, and he would debate anybody.
There's some harsh rhetoric.
His rhetoric, that's the thing, is that there are so many. I wouldn't ever put him as extreme because there are so many others that are far worse. He was willing to debate you. People would think that he didn't disagree. He disagreed with them. That's extreme. I would suggest, and I'm talking to all those liberals that he went on their shows, they loved the guy. They thought he was the greatest guy, great father. They're terribly saddened by this.
And that's the human tragedy.
Because he was authentic.
He was a father, had a young daughter. But this is just the latest example. I put together this list. In just the past year, two attempted assassinations against Donald Trump when he was a candidate, the shootings of the two Minnesota state legislatures, the Lators and their spouses, the arson attack on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro's home, the shooting at the CDC headquarters, and you go back a little bit farther, you get the hammer attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband, the protester killed at the rally in Charlottesville, the attempted mail bombing of some Democratic congressmen, the shooting of Steve Scalise, the Republican congressman at that softball practice, the Gretchen Whitmer kidnap plot, January 6th. This is crazy.
So here's the flip side of that. I have friends on both sides, and both, obviously, I'm in the news, so they're writing me quite a bit. Democrats, unfortunately, the friends that I had fell into the embarrassment reaction in that, oh, this is going to cost us the 26, or, well, you know, he kind of had it coming. And then there's the Republican side that said, look, this isn't equal. You know, you took out, with all due respect, if you're going to say that Minnesota state legislator killed, and that's like comparing her death and her husband's death to Martin Luther King's assassination. It's not equal. Right. In this case, you're taking out the head of the Republican Party, which is Donald Trump.
But it's motivated by politics.
It's motivated by politics.
Yeah.
And so that's why there's anger today that you're going after the head of the youth movement. You're going after the head of the snake. You're not doing these. And that's where I think I just feel a lot of anger on that Republican side. And I hope it doesn't. I hope there's no retaliation, but that's what you think is probably going to come because they're angry.
We'll see how it plays out. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear your thoughts. 945-766-1080. You can give us a call, text us on the that same number, the K-Post roofing text line. We're going to take a quick break right here. Well, we've got a lot more to come, by the way. Scott McFarland, CBS correspondent, covered the FBI news conference this morning. Because what we haven't even mentioned is they still haven't found the shooter. Right. The latest on the investigation, because the shooter is still at large. They haven't caught the guy. The manhunt continues. This happened, of course, at this college campus in Utah, south of Salt Lake City. The FBI initially detained a person of interest. Determined that he wasn't involved, they let him go, which means, again, the real gunman is still on the loose. So we're going to bring in CBS correspondent Scott McFarland. He's been covering the story with us right now. Scott, thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes with us with the FBI. What did we learn?
They seem pretty confident they're getting close to identifying who the shooter is. They have video in this era where there's so many videos in so many places, from doorbells to surveillance cameras to people's phones. They have a good tonnage of video based on what they just said, and they don't have to release it to the public, they don't think, right now, because they think they can figure it out themselves how they can identify the shooter from it. They know the shooter jumped from the roof, escaped from the roof from which he fired the shot, to a neighborhood after going through some woods and ditched the gun in the woods, and then moved through a neighborhood from where he somehow at some point escaped. The gun is one of those bolt action rifles, the kinds of hunters would use to hit, you know, with a single shot from a good distance. This is a 200-yard distance, they estimate, from where the shot was fired to where Charlie Kirk was sitting. That's two football fields. And they are doing the forensic reviews on the firearm that you'd expect. It's gone to the FBI lab. They're doing fingerprints, palm prints, footprints from the woods, and trying to figure out if that could help lead them to the person who did this.
250 yards, that's a pretty decent clip. Are they thinking that someone with experience probably pulled the trigger here?
Based on what they've said, it sounds like somebody who's done some planning, because the shooter arrived, according to police, 8 minutes before the event began, you know, just at 11:52 Mountain Time in Utah for a 12 p.m. event. Got into a position on a roof where there was some line of sight, some trajectory for the shot, and brought a firearm that was able for that task. It's a type of firearm you can shoot from two football fields away and hit dead center. This all is somewhat consistent with somebody who plotted and planned, but whether this is somebody with lots of firearm experience, that's to be determined.
I mean, it almost sounds like a professional hit.
Well, yeah, professional is interesting you say that, because there's certainly been a lot of chatter about that. Your professional is kind of a loaded word, and the FBI didn't give any indication of that, nor did the state police. But some of this is going to come down to who's the identifying the person, who is capable of this type of marksmanship, who's capable of this type of planning, and who's known maybe to law enforcement sources in Utah.
Can you tell us about the two people that were initially detained and then released? What was their story? Why were they detained?
One of the two is accused of obstruction, which means maybe they were either giving police a hard time or interfering with police as they were trying to respond. He's been released, so he's not being held on obstruction, but that's somebody who they actually have released the name of, and somebody they say has been harassed, menaced, and threatened having his name associated with this at all. A second person was detained, or at least brought in for questioning, a person of interest, but they've determined that person had no connection to this shooting either. That person's getting menaced, harassed, and threatened for having any connection to this investigation. That may be one of the reasons why law enforcement is not releasing the video publicly, to have citizen salutes misidentifying people.
I there's so much anger surrounding this. I wonder if other high-profile political figures are perhaps beefing up security and watching their step.
you can bet the farm that there are political leaders who are going to cancel some of their outdoor planned activities in the coming days and weeks, whether it's an outdoor rally, whether it's an outdoor community meeting, whether it's an appearance that is known to the public outdoors. There's been wildly increasing, rapidly increasing concern about the security of public figures at this unique politically toxic moment, politically violent moment. And this is only going to aggravate those concerns.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.